steadfast in suffering. Let's hear from the Word of God. St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 5, from verse 1 to 9. Romans, chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. This is the word of God. What makes a strong person able to withstand hard times? How could one remain steadfast in spite of suffering? How was it possible that Lenora could evidence peace in the midst of pain? 11 years fighting the curse of cancer. Yet Lenora was an example of rejoicing in spite of suffering. Victorious faith. Overcoming faith. Steadfast faith. Lenora was an example of excellence in hospitality, service, creativity, and industry. She was an example of joyful, sacrificial service, energetic sports, wholehearted worship, and enthusiastic encouragement of others. She strove to live life to the full, to fill her time with productivity, service, and creativity. Lenora was a loyal friend, a faithful family member, especially to her parents. She felt deeply. She was hurt. She was hurt by cancer. She's also hurt by some other C's, cowardice and compromise, which she despised. You may wonder how I am taking this service today. It was my wife's express instruction that I lead the funeral service, which I said to her, I cannot do it. We had a conversation 1 month ago, the 18th of October. I'd just come back from a mission to Transvaal. And we could see the end, and she was discussing her funeral. And she said, do not allow any of these spineless cowards in the pulpit to officiate at any service for me. She despised these cowards who've gone in for the lockdown lunacy, the masquerade madness, salvation by vaccination, all these people who couldn't make a stand for life, couldn't join in for outreaches, who didn't take an effort. And she said, you must take this service. Lenora was hurt deeply by friends and family who deserted us in times of difficulty. Lenora was fiercely loyal. She is offended by disloyalty. She was a faithful friend, and she is grieved by betrayal and backstabbing from people that she had poured her heart and soul into helping. This passage in Romans 5 gives us some insights as to how it was that Lenora was able to remain firm, faithful, and fruitful in spite of fearful suffering, pain, and failing health. For a person who's been a lifelong athlete, that must have been the hardest of all. Lenora knew what it was to be justified by faith. She had peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Suffering can produce perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And we see all this in the life of Lenora. It was obvious that the love of God was poured out into her heart by the Holy Spirit. Even when she was physically weak, Lenora was spiritually and emotionally strong. The secret of Lenora's steadfastness despite suffering was that she had a real, vibrant relationship with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is what made her steadfast in the midst of the storm. The Lord transformed her life in her 20s. And Lenora's life was never the same again. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of two kinds of people. They're the wise and they're the foolish. The wise men build their houses, their lives on the rock. The foolish build their house on the sand. Our Lord speaks of two foundations, the rock and the sand. Two people, the wise and the foolish. Two houses, two buildings, which outwardly may not look that different. But you know what flavor tea bag is when it gets into hot water. You know what character a person is made of when they come into suffering. The two houses may look the same, the two buildings, but the day comes when the rain falls, when the flood rises, when the wind blows, when the storm rages. And then the life that's built upon sand will collapse. But that which is built upon the rock of God's word will stand, will endure, will remain steadfast. And you can see that. There's some people's lives when everything goes well, they're great. If things fall apart, they fall apart. Lenora showed us her life was built upon the solid rock of the word of Almighty God because of her relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. During recent months and years, Lenora was steadfast in the storm. Many here know what cancer is and what cancer can do. I've received letters of condolence from people who know this. Uncle Erlo lost his wife to cancer, same kind of cancer. Patrick Johnson of Operation World wrote to me. He lost his wife Jill to cancer. In fact, he said the last thing she meant to do was to produce the Operation World book for kids, and did the last bit just before she died. That was her great concern, to finish off this book. Many people have written from around the world, hundreds of people actually. We can't read it all. I will be publishing on our site, our website, many of the different inspiring messages of people speaking about how Lenora affected their lives. But Lenora did not just survive cancer for the last 11 years. She thrived. She made it a ministry. And her thriving is seen in her enthusiastic, eloquent, energetic encouragement of others to rise above. In the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord Jesus Christ speaks about two roads, the broad road and the narrow road. Now, the broad road is smooth, it's downhill, it's easy, it's popular. Most people are on the broad road. But the Lord said there's a narrow road. It's steep, it's rocky, it's uncomfortable, it's not so popular. Lenora chose the narrow road, the steep road. Even a dead fish can float downstream. It takes courage and tenacity and strength to go upstream, to go against the flow, to go against the crowd. Lenora chose the narrow road, the steep, the rocky, the difficult road, because the broad road leads to destruction. We don't choose a road by how comfortable it is, but is it going to the direction, the destination we want? And our Lord Jesus Christ told us that the wise man built his house on the rock. Lenora would often say to medical professionals that we were with, "I'm not afraid to die. I know where I am going." In the Sermon on the Mount, you read about two different types of trees. There's the good tree and the bad tree. The good tree bears good fruit and the bad tree bears bad fruit. You can tell a tree by its fruit. You can tell a life by its fruit. You can tell a person by their fruit. What was the fruit of Laura's life? Well, the children testify to it. Sister testifies to it. I can testify to it. Many hundreds of others do too. You can see the fruits of Laura's life. It was good. Why? Because her roots of her life went deep into the Word of God. She drew inspiration from the Word of God. She drew courage and strength from God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lenora knew what she believed. She knew why she believed it. She knew who she was trusting. And therefore she was firm, she was faithful, and she was fruitful. Lenora was not a fair weather peddler. And if I offend someone here, sorry to say, but Lenora would speak about these fair weather paddlers. You only see them when it's sunny and shiny and warm and so on. But she was not like that. She was keen to go out paddling even when it was stormy, rainy, wet, didn't matter. And she hiked the same way. She did runs as well. We've got pictures of her soaked to the bone on some of these runs. And she was definitely not a fair weather paddler. I think we can all be inspired by that. I might also say, having endured PT instruction from my wife, she was a tough PT instructor. I think the army PT instructors would have got inspiration from her. You couldn't just do sit-ups, you had to have a medicine ball in your arm, which is like a rock. You couldn't just do pull-ups, you had to have some sandbag dangling from your ankles. You couldn't just do push-ups with two hands, and I tried with one hand, another hand behind your back. Got to try all these different things. This is incredible, the torture that these physical trainers could come out with. But she was tough, she was tenacious, she was inspiring, and Lenora was dependable. She said she was going to do something, it was done. You could bank your bottom dollar on it. She was reliable, dependable, faithful. Lenora may not have studied Latin at school, but she epitomized the term we learned in Rhodesia, carpe diem, seize the day, make it happen. She didn't take life for granted, and she sought to make the most of every opportunity. And if anything, contracting cancer in 2010 only intensified her love for life and her determination to make the most of everything. She was quilting for her grandchildren before one of them was born. She was quilting for the future. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God created us for eternity. Heaven is mentioned 550 times in the Bible just by the name heaven. Heaven is referred to by many other names too. The better country. The prophets were seeking after the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a real place. Jesus said he goes to prepare a place for us. And the word in Greek is topos, from where we get our word topology. Heaven is a real place. And we're told to enter his gates of thanksgiving and his courts of praise. Lenora said she did not want her funeral to be a time of mourning but of celebration. Because as she said, she knew where she was going. Atheists have always campaigned vigorously against the idea of heaven, because it would imply a creator and accountability to our creator. After the Russians sent the first cosmonaut into heaven, into the heavens, as they called it, into space, when he returned, the Soviets used him for propaganda purposes. And he went around the different schools telling them, I've been into the heavens and I can tell you there is no God. He went around a whole lot of schools teaching this. And at one school, one brave young Russian girl stood up and said, but comrade, the Bible says only the pure in heart will see God. Recently, this cosmonaut undertook a far more significant journey than his space journey. They lowered his body into the grave. By now, he knows that there is a God, although we're not sure how much of heaven he's going to see, because we do not know if he made right with God before he died. But we do know that the premise of his propaganda is laughable. It's absolutely beloved. When you think of the small area around the earth that he, between the moon and earth that he surveyed, you consider the vastness of space and of the galaxies. How ridiculous for a man to say, I've been in the heavens and I can tell you there is no God. He's hardly all-knowing. He isn't everywhere present. How on earth could he have said that? And so, there is an appointment not one of us will be able to miss. In fact, there's an appointment not one of us will be able to be late for. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that to face judgment. There's nothing more certain in death. There's nothing as uncertain as the time of dying. I never thought my wife would precede me. I never thought I could live longer than my wife. We were joking about that a month ago, about the fact that, you know, here's one journey she said she's going to take before me. We need to be ready at all times for that which can happen any time. The fool says in his heart, there's no God. They are corrupt and their deeds are vile. Whatever they do is not good. The Lord warned a rich man who was unprepared for eternity that he was a fool. It is the foolish thing to fail to prepare for eternity. We prepare for even small trips and journeys. Why would a person not make preparation for the most significant eternal journey they will take? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Each of us should constantly be ready, whether God comes or calls, that we are prepared. We need to be ready. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, Jesus said, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves cannot break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is. Where is your treasure? As has been said, heaven is more precious than knowing that Lenora is there. But there's other treasures we should be sending out as well. C.S. Lewis said, those in history who did most for the present world were precisely those who were more concerned in thinking of the next world. Ian Bounds, in his book Heaven, A Place, A City, A Home, writes, earth is but a pilgrim's stay, a pilgrim's journey, a pilgrim's tent. Heaven is a city, permanent, God planned, God built, whose foundations are as stable as God's throne. Chrysostom, the pastor of St. Sophie in Constantinople, declared, if one man should suffer all the sorrows of all the saints of the world, yet they're not worth 1 hour of heaven's glory. The suffering is temporary. The glory is eternal. The question is not, has a place been prepared for us, but are you prepared for that place? Will your name be called? When the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What will heaven be like? There will be no more hunger or thirst. There will be no more sorrow or crying or pain or death. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In heaven, we will enjoy reunion with loved ones who have gone ahead. We will experience glory in the presence of God, divine comfort, and access to the tree of life, communion with God, perfection, safety, the waters of life. In heaven, we will have glorified bodies. At the end of that hard day, the 9th of November, when Lenora passed into eternity, Jeremy came back from the mission where he had been taken by Talita for the day, and he saw piled up by the front door all the different equipment that needs to go back from where they'd be hired or borrowed, wheelchairs, crutches, oxygen machine, and so on. And he said, oh, No, you won't be needing those in heaven. Which is so true. There are no handicapped parking places in heaven. There's no wheelchairs in heaven. There's no oxygen machines in heaven. There's no need for crutches or any such thing. When my mother died 20 years ago, one of my children asked, when we see Omi in heaven, will she still have her leg missing? I said, no, she will have both her legs. She won't need a crutch or prosthesis. Considering that we can enjoy beautiful music, like the Handel's Messiah, which was being played earlier, because Nora sang that many times in the choir, along with many other wonderful hymns. If we can enjoy beautiful hearing here on earth, which causes our hearts to thrill, imagine when we are unlimited. Because right now, let's face it, our hearing's damaged, many of us, especially those of us who've been at too many firing ranges and heard too many explosions, and you wonder why we don't hear everything. But all of us have impaired hearing to some degree, impaired sight. In fact, compared to eagles, we're all practically blind. If you put a newspaper 300 meters away, an eagle could read it, presuming it could read newsprint, because their eyesight's that much better than ours. The average eagle is 12 to 20 times better eyesighted than the best human being's eyesight. Some eagles and owls that God has made can see in ultraviolet, and they can have telescopic vision. It's extraordinary how God's made the eagles and all different creatures. When you think how we can enjoy so much of what we see and hear on earth, imagine with all these restrictions and the weakness of sin and the corruption of the body is taken away and we have unlimited ability. Some of the greatest geniuses on earth have said they think that they use maybe 4% of their brain capacity. Well, if that's what they do use, wonder how much the average person who votes in the elections use. Imagine when we are unlimited by all these frailties and by sin and the presence of evil in heaven, when we are removed from all sorrows and aches and pains and grief and selfishness and anger, temper and pride and deceit and darkness, when malice is removed, imagine if we can enjoy so much beauty, even in this fallen world under the burden of sin, imagine what indescribable beauty will be enjoyed in the paradise of heaven with God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow and sighing. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. You shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. We do not know when we will die. We do not know under what circumstances we will die. But we do know that when we die, we will stand before our Creator, our eternal judge, and we will have to give an account of our lives to Him. Jesus said, do not be amazed at this, for the day is coming when all who are in the graves now will hear His voice and come out. And those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. If you are prepared to die, then you are prepared for anything. Until you're free to die, you're not free to live. It's a healthy thing. One of the first things I had to do when I joined the army at age 19, fill out a will. Not a bad thing to consider eternity and live in the light of eternity. How many times I've had to revise my will since then. It ought to be our business every day to prepare for our last day. Like the finishing race, the athlete is aimed at the goal, the finish line. In the Bible, Ecclesiastes 7 verse 2, we read, it is better to go to a funeral than to go to a party. The Bible actually says it. It is better to go to a funeral than to go to a party, because the living should always remind themselves that death waits for us all. And I might say that we are quite wrong when we speak about us in the land of the living and the departed in the land of the dying. It's actually the other way around. We are in the land of the dying. Lenora is now in the land of the living. She's with those who truly alive, more alive than any of us, more alert, more conscious, more aware, because they've seen the Lord and they've got new abilities which we would never know here in our restrictions on earth. There is a time for everything. There's a season for every activity under heaven. There's a time to be born and there is a time to die. We only have one life. It'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Being mindful of death should make us serious, industrious, and conscientious. We need to work out our priorities in light of eternity. What matters? What really matters? What will endure for eternity? We need to invest our time, our talents, and our treasures in things that matter in the light of eternity. What's going to last for eternity? The people of God, the creatures of God, the kingdom of God, the word of God. They will last for eternity. They are what ultimately matter. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that on the last day shall stand on the earth. So many of these great hymns were sung in Handel's Messiah. In the light of eternity, knowing that you are going to die, and you will stand before your Creator, your eternal judge, you need to review your life's work and your family relationships and your habits and activities. One day you will be standing before the judgment seat of Christ, but God will judge each man's secrets, all the harsh words. He will judge each man's words and works impartially. But I tell you, our Lord Jesus said that man will have to give an account on that day of judgment for every careless word they've ever spoken. So then each of us have to give an account of ourselves to God. In eternity, imagine that you're standing before the judgment seat of God on the last day and day of eternity. Do you think any of us will be thinking, I should have watched more TV. I was too generous. I was too forgiving. I should have held on to that grudge for longer. Do you think anyone in the light of eternity will regret sacrifice and service for the kingdom of God, studying the Bible too intently, obeying the Bible too enthusiastically, being too sacrificial, being too generous and servant-hearted to others? Those who sow with tears will reap with joy. If you knew that you were going to die 1 year from now, or 1 month from now, what would you do differently in the time remaining? Work out your priorities in the light of eternity. You must be ready at all times for that which can happen at any time. As Lenora, the helm, would often say to enthuse her dragon boaters at the beginning of any session, are you ready? Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, you who did not spare your beloved and only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, but gave him to redeem us by his death on the cross, may you comfort and support us who mourn here before you. Let us not doubt your love, but bring us through our sorrow to a fuller knowledge of your divine wisdom and purpose, that all things work together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, your heart went out to the widowed Nain who had lost her only son, and you restored him to her. You were deeply moved by the grief of those who mourned over Lazarus' death, and you wept and restored him to life. Have compassion on your servants in our loss and grief. Be to us a very present help in trouble. Give us eyes of faith that we may see that the eternal God is our refuge and that underneath are the everlasting arms. We ask this all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. May I ask you all to stand for the committal. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, with you are the souls of all who have died in the faith of Christ. Here we commit the body of our dear sister, wife, mother and friend, Lenora Dawn Hammond, earth to earth, dust to dust, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies, that they may be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control. In sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless her and keep her. May the Lord make his face to shine upon her and be gracious to her. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon Lenora and give her everlasting peace. Amen. Let us say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.